called, title slide is Bold Aliens. So we're kind of going off of our weird title, but it's kind of going off of our winter retreat theme, this idea of bold, and then aliens. We're going to talk about what's it look like that we're kind of aliens on this earth in the sense of we're strangers, we're sojourners, we're pilgrims, and we're going to focus on what does that mean and how we live this life out. Now, I don't know about you guys, but have you ever noticed, like, if you go back and look at, like, your pictures from your years of growing up, like, you notice that you go through stages and phases of trying to figure out who you are? Has anybody, like, ever noticed that? Okay, well, we're going to take a trip back with Lee Banton today. There is Lee in first grade. We're going to go first all the way through senior year. So first grade starts out pretty good, and you're like, wow, that guy's kind of cute. Okay, it's like decent, cute, look kind of normal. Let's go to second grade. Second grade, you can tell I'm getting a little bit more extroverted. The smile's a little bigger, kind of cheeseballing a little bit. Still kind of appreciating how my parents dressed me and what they allowed me to do. And let's go to third grade. Third grade's like, wow, still going good. Definitely harkening back to the 90s with that shirt, but it's coming back. Maybe I should go try to find that in my parents' closet somewhere and wear it. But still good. By the way, this is like a picture frame that my mom has in her house, like all the little pictures going all the way around. So I think we're on fourth grade next. Fourth grade, you're like starting to go downhill. Starting to go downhill, but not like the my haircut, the smile, still decent, shirt lacking in just a lot of things. Now we go to, so this is fifth grade, and you're like, what happened? What happened? When did my parents think it was a good idea to put a bowl over my head and just cut around it? And like, what? Like, I don't even know what to say when I look at this picture. It's just so sad. So fifth grade was not good to me on so many levels. I kind of look like I'm in prison, or they just took a cover off of an old couch and made a shirt out of it for me. The glasses, really struggling. Okay, and then we go to, I believe this is sixth grade, and you're like, what? Again? I mean, I can't believe y'all are such haters. Y'all are haters. So you would have thought after 1 year that my parents would have been like, wow, that was a terrible picture. Why did we buy that? Why did we do this to you? But no, they did it again and made it even worse. So then we go to, I believe this is either sixth or seventh grade, next one. Now, semi-awkward, because I actually, on this one, I was actually trying to be awkward and be funny. I'm not lying about that. You already showed you my awkward pictures. I was trying to be awkward because I'm like, let me just embrace the awkwardness here. I was starting early on embracing the awkwardness. And my mom's like, I love this picture. I'm like, really, Mom? Like, jeez. Okay, let's keep going. So then it gets a little better, and you're like, okay, got the haircut. You're like, he kind of thinks he's cool. Got the braces, got the hemp necklace going on. Kind of cool. The shirt. Anyways, okay, so let's keep going. I think that was eighth grade. I believe this is ninth grade. You're like, wow, we hit puberty finally. It's looking a little bit better. It's good. You notice the girlfriend's ring around the necklace. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Notice that. Short hair. Okay, let's go to the next one. This is 10th or 11th grade. Now. Yeah. Ooh. Oh, let's go. Okay. And you're like, life was good to this boy. Life was good. So that's what long hair phase started for Lee. I don't know why. What I did was I washed my hair with a bar of soap for most of high school. I just thought for some reason that was good. Don't ask me why. Okay, I think that's 11th grade. That might have been 10th. This is 11th grade, so kind of the same. Got the long hair going on. And then my senior picture. Hey, let's go. It all is well that ends well, okay? All is well, ends well. I guess the kind of hairdo sort of started back then, kind of kept it. Since never had the long hair again. But I show you that to say that we're all kind of, if we went back and looked through your pictures of your life, and when you get older, you'll look back through them, and you'll be like, I was trying to figure out who I was, right? I was trying to figure out who I was. All the different phases, you can see what I was trying to figure out. And the thing that I've realized is nobody likes sticking out. Nobody likes sticking out. Who likes sticking out? Like, the good thing was, is when I had those awkward years, now maybe you said all of them were awkward. I think there was just a few that were really awkward. I didn't know I was sticking out, thankfully. I was just like, I'm cool. These glasses are cool. I don't know why I thought that. But nobody likes sticking out. And I'll tell you one time when I really stuck out. So when I was at Liberty getting my master's degree, the seminary degree, and I was also working at the grounds department. So I was doing all of their, many of you heard this story before, but doing all their grass mowing and all this different stuff. And I took a few classes, most of my classes were online, but I took a few in person. And one of the ones that I decided to take in person was Philosophy 900, The Problem of Good and Evil. Most of you are like, Lee, you could do a class that has a 9 in it? Yeah, I could actually do that. And so I had no clue. I knew the class was about the problem of good and evil. I'm like, this sounds really important. I want to do this. So I get into the class. And the first thing of where I really stuck out, there's two reasons. One, I go in there and everybody's in kind of their normal dress. I walk in overalls, my work outfit, and I smell like sweat and two-cycle gasoline. And you can just tell everybody's looking at me like, why is this guy in this class? They're all like philosophers. They're all getting their master's degree in philosophy. So I just stuck out like for that reason. I felt like I stuck out. I sat in the back. The second reason I stuck out was because I realized a little bit in the class, I'm like, you're supposed to be getting a major in philosophy to take this class and have all these prerequisites. I don't know why I was allowed into the class, but I realized very soon after that I knew nothing about what these people were talking about. And I just stuck out. And I felt like it every time I went in there, nobody really talked to me. Maybe that's because I smelled bad. They just didn't want to get close to me. But nobody talked to me and I stuck out. And none of us like the feeling of sticking out. And so it's interesting. What we're going to talk about in this series is this reality that as Christians, we do stick out and we are different. And we're going to talk about why that is okay and how we can find comfort and the Lord in that and be bold aliens. Here's what I want you to do at your table. I want you to talk about a time that you maybe felt like you stuck out and why. Kind of vulnerable and open. Take like 3 minutes to do that. Go ahead. All right, you got about 1 minute. 1 minute. All right, 30 seconds. All right, if you can turn back up here. If you can't see me, turn your chair so that you can see me, so you can help you stay focused. Have you ever noticed, though, that for anybody, there's like usually there's a group of people that are like, I'm not a part of any group. And then what happens? They get a part of the group that are the people that don't want to be a part of any group. That's like Reston Bible Church saying, we're a non-denominational church. So what do we become? A group of non-denominational churches. Right? Like, it doesn't matter what we want to be, who we're trying to figure out. We all want to be a part of a different, of a group. You know, we don't mind being different as long as we're in a group of people that are different. We're always looking for a group to be a part of, and there's not something necessarily wrong with that. You know, we all have this desire to not feel alone. When we're a part of a group that feels like people care about me, they understand me, that kind of gives us purpose. We don't want to stick out and be alone. We don't mind sticking out if we're with a group of people that are also sticking out. It's like when we went on the streets yesterday to share. It was cool because we were with a group of people that are doing, like, we're doing this together. So we didn't mind sticking out then. But we also, interestingly enough, we do this as followers of Christ. Here's what happens. When we first believe, we believe that Jesus was the payment for our sins, that we couldn't pay for our sins. We believe in him. We find eternal life. We have this change. It's interesting. We don't mind sticking around. There's new believers in this group right now. There's been new believers I've seen in this group before. Like, when they come, they're the ones in small groups asking all the questions that everybody else is scared to ask. They're the ones that are like, what do you mean you don't tell your friends about Jesus? Like, he changed my life. Like, what do you, I'm going to go tell. And so we don't mind sticking out. We don't mind even feeling alone. We want to tell people we are cool with looking different at that point. And we know it's interesting. We don't even mind some of the suffering that comes along with not being in the same friend group that we were before. And you know, hopefully all of you, you find this place and a smaller group within this student ministry that you don't feel alone, that you feel apart, that even as you feel like maybe you stick out as a Christian out in the world, that you feel like apart here. But then this is what happens. Eventually something happens. Something changes. We eventually realize that we're different. Slowly, or maybe quickly, we begin to realize we're different as a Christian and we don't want to stick out. Let's be honest, it's scary. It feels weird to stick out and to be different. And so we realize we're living in a way that's different, that we're on a different path, that we make different decisions. And we're like, you know, I don't want to stick out. I kind of want to look like everybody else. Now, usually we continue to go to church. We continue to do the church stuff. You know, we don't stop being a Christian, but we want to blend in and we don't want to look different. We want to be Christians on the inside, but on the outside, we want to look just like everyone else. And so what happens is we usually kind of stop really sort of living it outside. You know, maybe we come to church, we're just like, I'm just here. And yet, we know we are different. It was like me when I went to Israel a couple falls ago with the trip with RBC. It would be like me going to Israel and saying, I'll blend in. No one will know. No, I stick out in Israel. I very much stick out in Israel. But the thing is I look and I live totally different. I can't change that I'm American, that I've been brought up in American culture. In the same way, we cannot change that we are followers of Christ, that our citizenship is in heaven, and that Christ lives in us. But we begin to go, I don't want to look different. I want to be like everyone else. I don't want to stick out. Here's what John 17, 14, and 15 says. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. So it's interesting. Jesus says, I don't want you to be out of this world. No, I want you to be in this world, but to be like me in this world. So we know that we're followers of Jesus. We feel this tension between who we are and what we want to appear to be. We come back from winter retreat. We learn about being bold. The first week, we're like, I want to be bold. And then we go back to school. We're bold for a little bit. And then we're like, nah, I really don't want to look that different. And so this letter that Peter is writing to the Christians in the Roman world, they are being persecuted for their faith. Some legit persecution, some physical, a lot mental. They think probably what happened was when Nero burned down Rome, the Emperor Nero, he had such a lust for building and power that he literally set Rome on fire so that he could rebuild it. And what happened is he realized the Roman people were like, dude, why would you do this? So what does he do? He blames it on the Christians. He says, these are the ones that easily take the scapegoat. Let's put it on them. So the Roman people started persecuting the Christians. And so this is the example of what Peter's writing them into. And I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination that we're there, but I think we know as Christians that we're saying something when we say, I'm a Christian. And that can be kind of scary. And so I want to give you just some encouragement today as we start this series of saying, yes, we are different, but we can be these bold aliens as we go out. And so this is really the main verse of this series. It's 1 Peter 2:11. It says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Now the word sojourner, it means a stranger, sojourner in a land that is not his own, a non-citizen with limited rights. So metaphorically, of the Christian resident on this earth whose real home is in heaven. It's hard for us to fully put that together because we're like, no, like we're taught in America, you're American. You put your trust in that. It says in God we trust, but we put our trust in America. And so it's hard for us to begin wrapping our minds around to go, yes, we are a citizen of America. Should we love America? Absolutely. I think there's a lot of great things about America. But ultimately, Peter's saying your real citizenship is in heaven, not here. And then it says in exile. So the sojourner is kind of a non-citizen, limited rights. You're just a resident alien. Exile means a stranger. This, I think, even hits us even more. A stranger settled in a town or region for a time without making it his permanent residence. So a sojourner in a spiritual sense is of those who are on earth for a time whose real home is in heaven. I think that one really hits me. It's like I'm a stranger. And at times I feel like a stranger. When I look around what's going on in things of the world, things in my own family, things in people in my neighborhood, I look at that and I'm like, man, I feel like a stranger. I feel different. I feel like my thoughts are different. Here's how the message says verse 11. The message is, it's not an exact translation of the Bible, but it helps you kind of get things. And it says this, friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourself cozy in it. I don't know about you, but I want to make my life cozy. I got, you guys have heard of the love sack, those big old beanbag things. I'm too poor to have one of those. So I do have the thing called a Big Joe. It's a knockoff version. My life is a knockoff version. So I got the Big Joe. That, man, when I get downstairs in that thing, it just sucks you in and you just lay there. And I'm like, hey, babe, I'm going to go downstairs and watch TV for a little bit. She's like, no, you're going to go down there and watch TV and then you're going to fall asleep. That's exactly what always happens because you get so comfortable. It's like that. I want my life to be cozy like that. And from the message says, friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourself cozy in it. So when you think about this verse where it says you're a sojourner or an exile, I want you to talk about this at your table. Does this verse encourage? Well, if you go to the next slide, it says, how does this verse help you to understand who you are as a Christian on this earth? Talk about that for about 3 or 4 minutes. Go ahead. All right, if you can turn your attention back up here. So, I want to give you three things from the first chapter of 1 Peter and a little bit into the second to encourage you and help you kind of take hold of this reality that I'm a sojourner, I'm an exile, I'm a stranger in this land and what that can look like. And the first one, I know it sounds really simple, but it's this. Accept who you are in Christ. Accept who you are in Christ. And that sounds like so silly. Like when someone's like, I had this issue, and it's like, well, just stop it. We'll just stop it. No, but it's different. It's going, accept who I am in Christ. 1 Peter 1:3-5 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, the reason I say this is accept who you are in Christ is because there's a good portion of you in this room that are like, I know I'm a Christian. I know I place my faith in Christ. I believe it. But you're like, but that's not who I want to be. So let me figure out who I want to be, maybe who the world says I want to be, what I want to look like, the identity I take on there, instead of saying who I am in Christ now defines everything else that I do. Accept who you are in Christ. And Paul says, or Peter says, a couple of things in here that help us realize who we are in Christ. The first one he says is, you're born again. You're born again. And this cannot change. You are born again, and this cannot change. You cannot ever take away the fact that you are physically born, and you cannot take away the fact that you are born again in Christ if it was true and you trusted in him. Now, it was interesting. We're doing our taxes right now. It's tax season. And one of the things I needed to do was I needed to go find my son's social security number. Well, because my son is adopted, we had to do some different things with social security numbers and birth certificates and all this different things. And it's really interesting when I go look at his birth certificate, because on there it says, Wendy and I are his parents. Now, my wife did not birth my son, but that birth certificate says we are his parents. He was literally almost like he was born again into our household. And that's the same way it is with Christ. We are born again into his household. We are now his sons and daughters, and nothing can change that. And so begin to stop going, let me fight against who Christ says that I am. Let me stop fighting against that and trying to be something different, and instead accept who I am in Christ and begin living that out. Some of you live in such a tension. You know why? It's because who you are in Christ can't change, but you're like, but I want to be like this. He's like, accept who you are in Christ. You are born again. He says, you're born again into a living hope. A living hope. How often do we live for dead hopes? We live for dead hopes. Dead hopes are things like, if I get enough money, I'll be good. If I get into this college, I'll be good. Those are all dead hopes. They're not bad things to pursue, but they're never going to ultimately really fill what we're looking for. He says you are born, Peter says you are born again into a living hope. Why is that living hope? Why is it a living hope? It's because it's a hope in Christ. And why is it living? Because Christ, of any other religion out there, Christ died on the cross but rose again and is now living in heaven. No other religion can claim that. That's true. It's a living hope because ultimately your hope is true and it is real. And it is foundational that when you die here, you will enter into eternity in heaven. But the thing is that eternal life doesn't start when you die. It starts now. When you believe, it started. So you are part of this living hope. You are born again into this living hope, into the family of God. Christ indwells you and you have a relationship with him. Then he goes on and he says, you have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. You're born again into a living hope and you have an inheritance. That inheritance is a certainty of future salvation. Like I just said, it's in heaven. When you die, your hope is in heaven. But it also is life, righteousness, peace, joy. You are seen as perfect in Christ's eyes. You have no sin because Christ's blood's covered that. You have God's presence. So when we stop, when we accept who we are and we stop trying to be something different, we realize that God has given us all unique personalities. He's given us unique traits. He's given us unique gifts. He's given us unique stories. And he wants to use those all for his glory. But beyond any of the abilities we have, beyond any of the personalities that we have, God says beyond all of that, first and foremost, you are my child, a follower of Christ. I would just encourage you, accept and embrace who you are in Christ, that you are son and daughter of the Creator and King. And you know why? Because there is such freedom in that. There's such freedom in stopping fighting all the things you're trying to be and instead saying, let me know who I am in Christ. So the first one is we're these sojourners, we're these exiles, we're these strangers, these aliens on earth. It's one, accept who you are in Christ. The second one is this, have the right perspective. Have the right perspective. Perspective in life is so important. Having a biblical perspective is even more important. This is what Peter says in chapter 1, 6, and 7. He says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul recognizes, he's honest. He's like, look, let's keep saying Paul. Peter recognizes that they are going through trials. They are going through sufferings. He doesn't try to gloss over that. He doesn't try to make light of them, but he says, let's get the right perspective. Remember, that he's writing to this group of Christians that are being persecuted for real in their life. He's already reminded them that their true home is in heaven, their true hope is found in Christ. And now he says, have the right perspective of your trials. Because see, when you feel like you're not accepting who you are in Christ, you kind of feel like you're a stranger and you haven't accepted that, then when trials and suffering come, your automatic perspective is, you're just mean, God. You just don't want anything that's good for me. It looks like everybody else over here, they get to do their own thing, and it seems like it's going so much better for them. We're great at doing that. And he says, have the right perspective of your trials. When we choose to live in obedience to God, that might mean saying no to some of the things that my friends are doing. That might mean saying yes to the things that God's calling me to do that will look different. That sets us apart. And honestly, we don't like it. When we go through some trials, when we go through some hardships, when we have to be bold as Christ calls us to. And so often in the midst of suffering or feeling lonely or feeling different, we feel like, God, we don't deserve this. Why are you doing this? And our perspective begins to get skewed. And we begin saying, I don't know if you're really good, God. I don't know if I really want to follow you. And so here's the new perspective. Being different, sticking out, and remaining true to your identity is a part of God testing our faith. He says the tested genuineness of your faith. God is willing to allow our faith to be tested so that you can see that it is genuine, that it is real. We never know what we really stand for, what we believe until it's tested. And God's like, I'm okay with testing your faith. I'm okay with allowing you to go through a trial for you to remain faithful and steadfast to me. And so being different, sticking out, remaining true to your identity is part of God showing your faith is genuine. And we can begin choosing to see our trials and our hardships as allowing us to ultimately be strengthened in our faith. I'm not saying this like classic, like let's just make sure everything's good, it's fine. No, we can recognize that things are hard, but we choose to see them as God strengthen our faith. So that's the first new perspective. The second one is this, as we continue to live by faith and choose to see our trials and hardships as stretching and growing our faith, we then ultimately bring praise, glory, and honor to Christ. That's really what it's about. That's really what he's saying. He's saying ultimately, the hardships, the trials in your life, as you're a stranger, as you're an exile on this earth, as you look different, as at times you feel lonely, he says, these are actually for my praise, my glory, and my honor. It's interesting how our trials and our suffering are a real way for the world around us to see that Jesus is real in us. You might not see it. You might not feel it. You might not think your friends see that anything's different about you. They do. They do. When they see that you act differently, they take notice of that. And you will be the people that they will come back to go, why is something different about you? So God uses our trials for his glory to bring the praise and the honor and back to him. So the first part of having this, seeing that we're strangers and exiles, is accept who I am in Christ. The second one is have the right perspective. And here's the third thing. It's in chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. We have a new foundation. Peter says, as you come to him, that's Jesus, a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious, yourselves like the living stones are being built up to a spiritual house, to a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Jesus, he begins in verse 4, and he's talking about Jesus. He says, this living stone rejected by men. Jesus was this perfect example of being in the world, but not of it. Jesus kind of created the space around him for people to be willing to come to him and feel safe around him, and yet he didn't get drawn into the things of the world. Jesus knew distinctively, this is not my home. I'm a stranger, I'm an exile here, but God, you have a purpose for me in this. He said, God, I know I'm a sojourner passing through. And that is what enabled him to live for God and ultimately to go to the cross. He realized this is my ultimate home. And even though this is hard right here, God, I know that you have a purpose for it. And you know, so as we feel at times rejected by the world, we can know our leader, our Savior, he was rejected by the world too. But it says, but he was chosen and precious to God. And we can take comfort too that yes, we're chosen, we're precious in the Lord's sight. So he goes on, Peter goes on, he says, look, you have become more like Christ. You're being built into this spiritual house. The spiritual house. And he goes on, he says, that cornerstone is Jesus. If you ever build anything, you have to have the cornerstone set right. Because if the cornerstone's not set right, then all the other walls are off. It's not set right. He says, your life is built on the foundation of Jesus, which is the cornerstone. He is the chief cornerstone. Your foundation is not on shaky ground in the spiritual house. You cannot be easily swayed. You can't be swayed by popularity. You can't be swayed by people's opinion. You can't be swayed by money, by fame, by power. All of these things can be easily changed. They're a shaky foundation. He says, Peter says, but your life is built on the foundation of Christ, who defeated death and lives. And therefore, he lives in you. So you're being built up as this spiritual house. And then he says, you're a holy priesthood. That one's always struck me as weird. I'm like, how are we a holy priesthood? What does that mean? Is that harken back to the Old Testament? And they had the priests in the Old Testament. And Peter, this is what Peter means when he says this. He says, we can now go directly to God. See, in the Old Testament, the people had the priest, and the Israelites and the Jewish people, they would come to the priest, and the priest would take their sacrifices, and the priest was the guy that was kind of considered more holy, and he would go to the people, and he would offer the sacrifices. And now he's saying, Peter's saying, we no longer have to do that. Why? Because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. He says, every one of us, we're a holy priesthood. We can go before the Lord to hear him, to be encouraged by him, to grow. And that's why he says, you are the spiritual house. You are this holy priesthood. So ultimately, as we're sojourners, as we're exiles, we're strangers, we're aliens, our lives are built on the foundation that will never be put to shame. So we can stand out. We can feel like these aliens, like these exiles, like these strangers, but we can never be put to shame. Nothing and no one can ever make us feel unworthy or unloved, because we are loved and given purpose by the Lord. So as we wrap this up, he says in 1 Peter 1:13, he says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. A sober mind is a mind that is thinking rightly about reality. Yesterday when we were out talking to this one guy, and we're asking different questions and about his spiritual beliefs. And I said, you know, what do you think about the fact that, like, where did we come from? Like, where do we come from? And he was like, well, you know, we don't really know and we can't really figure things out. And I was like, well, we started talking. It wasn't an argument. I was like, something cannot come from nothing. Everything we see around us has come from something, but somewhere something came from nothing. That's how we got here. And so we started talking. He's like, well, you know that there's like somewhere we've created dark matter before. I was like, okay, I've never heard that before. Let's talk a little more about that. I was like, where have you seen that before? And he stops and he's like trying to think. He's got his head like this and he goes, man, he's like, honestly, dude, I just smoked before this. And I'm like, don't think this dude is sober-minded right now. Do not think he is in the right context. Because when You are sober-minded. You're not controlled by outside circumstances, but instead you're controlled by Christ. And Christ gives you a true understanding of reality and life. And this is the sober mind. As a Christian, the sober mind is this, that ultimately, I am passing through this life. I am a stranger here. Because this world has become sinful. It's become broken when Adam and Eve sinned, and we all have sin. And therefore, when I understand that I'm going to feel like a stranger here, I can begin going, yeah, my true identity is in Christ. My true citizenship is in heaven. So as you go to school this week, as you go to your job, as you go to your team this week, accept the fact that you're different. Accept who you are in Christ. Have the right perspective on being different. God is using it to grow and stretch you for his glory. And number three, that you have this new foundation. You're the spiritual house. You're this holy priesthood. You are built up in Christ. That we are aliens and strangers on this earth. And that is okay. I'm going to give you about 4 minutes to just discuss a question. What kind of stuck out to you today? What resonated with you? And maybe how do you want to live this out this week? Take a few minutes and then we're going to worship.